pile up on Saturday at Carter F. Park, a block over, two blocks down, 10 a.m., I believe that is. And if you didn't hear the invitation song, it's number 655 would be that number. Get that. This morning, remember Michael kicked off last week. Our new theme for the quarter and the man in the mirror for the year is remember what you are. Not who you are, but what you are. And so this morning I want to talk about one aspect of that. Mothers are often said to wear many hats. They are mom, but they are also taxi cab driver, and they are also chef, and they're also the launderer, and they're all these various things, and they wear all these different hats, but they're under one kind of thought, mother. Well, we're under one thing, a Christian, but Christians do different things. There are different things and ways that we are described. We'll put this picture up here for you, and I want you to tell me, who would wear this outfit? It would be a prisoner. It would be someone who does not get to do what they want to do. They're currently in custody by the state or by the nation for doing something that was unlawful. Most people don't wear an orange jumpsuit walking around town, do they? You know why? Because you're probably going to pick up your phone, you're going to call the police and say, hey, we've got an escaped con. Or you see him walking around in the standard white and black. This guy, he stands out from everybody else, doesn't he? Well, do you realize that Christians aren't our own? We need to remember that we are a servant. And the way the Bible often translates the word servant, we should probably say it as a slave. Where we are not our own. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to begin there this morning with this principle that I'm not my own because I was bought by Christ. And I want to pick up in the middle of a conversation. I'm going to back up in a second. But I want you to go with this conversation about sexual immorality, about things that you can do with your body. The Apostle Paul says in verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside of the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Now here's his point. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. For you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. I tell you what, oftentimes we use our body to glorify ourselves. Whether it is the desires that we have, like these sexual desires, and we use our body to fulfill that and to glorify that. But you know what we forget? Who is also in our bodies? God. We forget that God bought my body as his property. At no small cost, but at that great cost of the blood of a lamb without spot or blemish that James pointed out, that one and only Son. And we need to glorify the Lord in our body. Now, I want you to go back to verse 12 that begins this conversation. I shouldn't say begins the conversation, but maybe is more of the way people would think and way the Corinthians would say. And I want you to notice what it says in verse 12. All things are lawful for me. You ever heard anybody say that? It's all right for me. It may not be all right for you, but all things are lawful for me. I can do whatever I want to do. Notice what he says. But not all things are helpful. Not everything that you may have a right to do or a law to do doesn't mean that it is always helpful or edifying to do it. So the result would be, don't do it.
He said, but all things are lawful for me.
Yeah. But I will not be enslaved to anything. Why? Because we were bought with a price. We are not our own. But yet we want to live like we're our own. We want to do the things in our body that make me feel the best. That make me look good. And I forgot that my body is to make God look good. Glorify God in your body. So what I do is not up to me. And I want you to see how he says it. I will not be enslaved to anything. Owners, when we think about slaves, are usually owned by people. But you can be enslaved to things. The things that you do, whether it is sin or whether it is lawful things that dictate your life, that you answer to, that really decide what you're going to do in a day, that has become your master. You are enslaved to it. He says, remember, you were bought with a price, so glorify God. I want you to go to chapter 7 of this same book in Corinthians, where he's talking about marriage here. And he is discussing, well, let's say I became a Christian, and I'm married to an unchristian spouse. What should I do with my spouse? Well, you keep them. If they want to stay, you keep them. But he goes to another condition to point this out. He says, go to verse 20. Each one should remain in the condition which he was called. To stay whatever he is. And he's going to explain that. Notice how he explains it, verse 21. For if you were a slave when you were called, do not be concerned about it. But if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself to the opportunity. In the day and time when the scriptures would have been written, there would have been actual slaves, where you worked under a master. And he says, if you were a slave when you became a Christian, don't worry about it. But if you can get freedom, get your freedom. Now what about if you were free, like all of us sitting in the room? Most of us are not enslaved to anyone. We're free. We live in the land of the free, don't we? What do you do? Verse 22. For he who is called in the Lord as a slave is a freed man. Likewise, he who was free when he is called is a slave of Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not be slaves of men. No man bought you. One man did, Christ Jesus. So brothers, whatever condition you're in, let him remain with God. I don't care what you were before. In Christ, you serve Christ because he bought you. Now, does anyone like to be considered property? I don't really like to be considered property, dude. I don't want to think, man, I belong to that person. You know, we do that all the time. We don't mind being property of our boss at work. If our boss is good to us, we don't mind working for him, do we? We don't mind working for our spouse or our mom or our dad as long as they take good care of me and they treat me fairly and they treat me right. We don't have a problem about that, do we? Some of you may have crummy bosses. Bosses that are unfair. Bosses that don't do anything. How often do you go around telling people, man, you should come work for our company? I've got the best boss in the world. He does nothing. He's always grumpy. He doesn't treat people fairly. And if you have a baby, you better be back at work in 2 weeks. How many of you are going to go out and promote that boss? You're not. But what if your boss is the hardest working person in your office? He's the most fair person in your office. He's the first one there, the first one to leave, and he makes sacrifices for his employees. He understands that the employees sometimes need time off with their family.
man, you should come work for us. Because you would really get a lot out of it. Why don't we do that for Jesus? We look at it like it's some burden to be a Christian. Like it's some burden to belong to Christ when we have all of this freedom in Christ. And so we don't go around glorifying our Master. We go around, got to go to church today. Oh man, I got to do this, I got to do that. And we aren't happy to belong to the best master as opposed to that cruel, hard taskmaster of Satan from which we've been bought back from. Because if we don't belong to Christ, we belong to Satan, to the devil. And as Bob Dylan said, quoting from Romans 6, you got to serve somebody. It doesn't matter who you want to choose. You got to serve somebody. We serve Christ. I want you to notice what happens sometimes when you become a Christian. I want you to go to 2 Peter chapter 2. As we think about being bought, I belong to them. I have a friend in Atlanta. He works for an engineering consulting company. He's an electrical engineer, or a chemical engineer, excuse me. And there was a paper mill out in Washington State, so clear across the country, that wanted him to work at their paper mill. He said, sorry, I've lived out on the West Coast. I don't want to live out on the West Coast. I'm willing to live out on the West Coast 2 weeks a month, and I want to live in Atlanta the other 2 weeks a month. Well, that business, that paper mill, wanted him so badly that they called up a consulting firm that they do business with and said, we want you to hire this guy as one of your consultants and we want to buy 100% of his time. So you think the consulting agency cared about that? No, because they were going to make money off him as the employee. He works for that paper mill 100% of the time because they bought his time. He answers to the agency, but they bought 100% of his time. He's not working for anyone else. What if he decided one day, you know what, I don't want to work for them anymore. You know what we can do in our jobs? We can walk out the door and leave, right? You know what happens when someone buys us and they buy our time, specifically with Christ? We can walk out the door and we can go be enslaved to someone else. Or we can do like in chapter 2 and verse 1 of 2 Peter. We might even deny that we were ever bought. So, but false prophets arose among the people, just as there will be false prophets among you. Among Christians, there will be false teachers and false prophets who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them. How is it possible to deny your master? How can I deny that? I think there you can do it in action. You can just flat out reject what your master says to do. He tells you to do something, you say, nope. Or you might say, well, he never bought me in the first place. I never, and you would hear this with the Christians, why? I didn't know what I was doing. I never became a Christian in the first place. Because they don't want to do what a Christian is supposed to do anymore. I never did it. I think it's more of an attitude behind that. And it's an attitude that we don't like to say, but this is what we're really saying. And the attitude is that I may have been bought, but I am the Lord. And when I use the term the Lord, I mean the Master. As also said in the song lyrics, you can do it your own way if it's done just how I say. Where I'll do it if it's what I want. And that's when we become our own master. We have denied the one who has bought us, and we say, well, I'm the one making the call now. All things are lawful for me. That's not who Christians are. Christians serve their master, and it is not themselves. It is Christ Jesus. Don't fool yourself. Wes, don't fool yourself. If I'm not doing what the master says, I'm not his. He still owns me, but I'm not on his good list. There will be judgment for that. Don't forget that you were bought. Now here's what I want you to see. You know what we said about our great boss and how awesome he is? The second thing that we need to realize is that our Lord that bought us, we need to follow him. I want you to go to John chapter 13. We need to be like him. And he served other people. He served you. He served me. He served all these people. And you remember the night that he was betrayed in John chapter 13. They're having the supper. And they finish supper. And I want you to notice in verse 3 or verse 4, he rose from supper and he removed his outer garments. You remember what he put around his waist? He put the towel around his waist. And he filled water in a basin to go about and to do what to the disciples? To wash their feet. And Peter says to him, and I want you to read this with me, verse 6. Lord, do you wash my feet? And notice what he called him. Lord, Master. Master, do you wash my feet? And Jesus says, no, I'm just doing this. I'm not actually going to wash your feet. I'm just kind of putting on a towel to put on a show. He says, what I'm doing, you don't understand now, but afterward, you'll understand. We understand, don't we? Imagine if you're Peter that night and you've never seen this or heard of this. You've never seen a master wash his servant's feet. It's always been the servants washing the master's feet. Imagine you've never heard about that. Why are you doing that? I should be the one doing that to you. Jesus says, let me tell you why I did it. Go down to verse 12. When he had washed their feet, and he put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he went back to where he belonged at the head of the table. What did he say? Do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right. I am that. But if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash others also. We aren't any greater than him, are we? Isn't that what he goes on to say? No servant is greater than his master. No disciple is greater than his master. He did this as an example so we would do the same thing. And not necessarily washing, literally, of the feet. But you're going below yourself and putting others more important to do things for them. All because we should do this. He did that. Well, do you do that? Who should I do that to? Who should I make this kind of service to? There's two groups of people that I really think about in the very generic sense. Why don't you go to 1 Peter chapter 5. In the book of 1 Peter, you'll know that that's one of my favorite books in the Bible. And in chapter 5, there's this interesting word in the statement that is used, that Christians are to clothe themselves with something. So I want to put our picture back up again, right? We see this guy, and what do we know about him? He's not his own. He's not free, is he? He's told when to get in his cell. He's told when to get out of his cell. He's told what clothes he is allowed to wear. You can't just wear any t-shirt or any pants or any types of shoes or anything you want in the prison, can you? You're told this is acceptable clothing, this is not acceptable clothing, to distinguish them. But you know what's interesting? He probably doesn't want to put that on. Because you immediately know, oh, you've lost some kind of control. Christians are told to clothe themselves. Look at chapter 5 and verse 5. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. Why? Because God opposes the proud and He gives grace to the humble. We are to clothe ourselves with humility towards each other as Christians. I've got to be serving other people that belong to the Lord. That's what I'm told to do, and I have to humble myself in that. I want you to notice this interesting thing about the clothing yourselves. It's the only time this word is used. And Thayer describes it in this way. It says it was the white scarf or the apron of slaves which was fastened around the girdle of the vest. And notice this. It distinguished slaves from free men. What did Jesus put about his waist? A towel. Why did he do that? Because he was becoming a slave. And they recognized that when you have the white towel around your waist, that you are not free. You belong to someone else. And what he has just told us here in 1 Peter 5 is that we must distinguish ourselves from free people to being servants of other people. Clothe yourselves with humility. That's what separates us. Is we are humble towards one another. But we want to fit in with everybody else. We don't want to stand out. We don't want to be distinguished. You can tell the difference between a servant and a free man by what they wear, can't you? There is physical resemblance. There is physical evidence of whether they're a servant or whether they're not a servant. Why should it be our actions? By our attitudes would say, is that person a servant or are they always being served? Are they a giver or a taker? As we like to say at camp. Christians give of themselves. But not only do they give of themselves to one another and to other Christians, they give of themselves to their neighbors. To people that they don't even know. And we know the story there in Luke chapter 10 of the Good Samaritan, right? Remember the guy comes to Jesus and he wants to know what he must do. And Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, love the Lord your God, and love your neighbor as yourself, right? And he wanting to justify himself, well, Lord, who is my neighbor? Remember then Jesus tells the story about there was the man, he went along the road to Jericho and he got beat up and he was left for dead and he was robbed. And the man came by, the priest came by, and then the next one came by, the Levite came by. And then there was that dirty, lowly Samaritan who comes by. And what did he do with the man? He picked him up. He bandaged his wounds. He took him to the inn. And he said to the innkeeper, here's some money. If there's anything else, I'll pay it when I get back. And he didn't even know the man. Right. That's the difference between Christians and people of the world. Why should I do that for you? Why should I go out of my way to help you? Because I want somebody to go out of their way to help me. And because Jesus went out of His way to help me. And I have been bought to go out of my way to help everyone else. But yet, I always want it to be about me. It's not about me. It's about the Lord who bought us. We might say, okay, Wes, I'm a servant. I'm going to be a servant. All right, let's see about that. Out there on the table, I put together some sheets. I got a couple right here in my hand that are stapled together. Where it has every day from today through the rest of this quarter.
where there's an opportunity for you to write down what you did for the Lord that day. What you did for the Lord's people that day. And what you did for somebody else that day. I've been trying to keep a track of this at home. It ain't pretty. Because sometimes you have to go out of your way to find opportunities to do that. You know what servants do? They go out of their way to help other people. I'm interested if you want to take the challenge. You don't have to tell me about it. Go pick up a sheet of paper, make your own sheet. I don't care. But if you want to remember what you are, look and see, am I doing what I've been called to do? Or am I a servant in word only? Okay, so what can I do? Very practically, I'm going to wrap it up. Serve the Lord with gladness. This may be the toughest one to write down and actually take track of. But in Psalm 1, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with thanksgiving. Sing to the Lord. Sing His praise. Tonight in the lesson, we're going to look at the Song of Deborah. About how Deborah praised the Lord after victory. Let's say you overcame a temptation that day. You might want to write that down. I chose to do what the Lord said to do rather than what my desire was saying to do. That would be serving the Lord and not myself. So I might sing about that, or I might just write that temptation down. I fought this temptation today. Or it might be, I'm not going to let anything else get in my way today. So maybe we're really into sports and we're on a team. Or we're into work and we're very important. Maybe before we get to work, or before we go to our sporting event, we spend some time with God in prayer, in His Word. Or maybe I even have to miss a sporting event to be at services. I'm serving, not myself, not my coach, I'm serving the Lord first. But, as in the parable there in Matthew 22, of when we sing, all things are ready, come to the feast. The master came in and it was time for the feast. And he said to those who were his servants, to go out and tell those who were invited, come to the feast. But the people came up with all kinds of excuses. I don't want to go and all this. And he said, go tell them, come to the feast. Are you telling anybody to come to the feast? Are you telling anybody to come work for your boss? How about you tell somebody, come work for the Lord. He wants to buy 100% of your time, and it'll be awesome. You know what I didn't tell you about that friend of mine? You know what that company allowed him to do 4 years ago when the World Cup was in South Africa? They allowed him to go to South Africa for 6 weeks and work. They bought him an iPad to do the work from South Africa. They paid for his phone and everything while in South Africa. That's a boss you want to work for. That's the Lord. Okay, so you serve the Lord. What about the Lord's people? We saw Martha getting a little too anxious in our reading. She was too worried about serving people, and she forgot the most important thing was about the spiritual side. How about you open your house to some Christians? And you make a meal for them, or you invite them over, or you take them out to dinner, or you do something along those lines, or you pray for them. We got a huge list of people to pray for. You pray for them, or you send them a card or something. You're thinking about them, or you text them to encourage them. You do all kinds of things. There's a billion things you can do. You just got to want to find some way to do it. And then thirdly, what about the people that are not Christians? And maybe the Lord's people are sometimes the hardest ones to serve. They're tough to do sometimes. The Bible says to do it. I want you to see here this third group. You serve others. Someone was telling me yesterday that when they went to the grocery store, there was people outside and they were accepting money for the food pantry. And they said, well, you know what? It seems like a pretty simple thing to do. It's not that expensive. It's easy to do. How about get some groceries at the food pantry? How about signing up for a day where you'll go down to the soup kitchen and you'll serve some homeless people?
How about them apples? How about somebody moves into your apartment building? And you say, hey, can I help you bring in something? Why would you do that? Because you want somebody to help you. And don't you remember the people and your neighbors that did that for you? I still see people in my building all the time that I've done that for. And like, I really appreciate that. That was years ago. Serve other people. Don't be all self-focused. Think about what can I do to serve the Lord? What can I do to serve His people? And what can I do to serve others? Don't forget, we are servants. Maybe this morning you haven't been bought with the blood of Jesus. You haven't been baptized into Him for the forgiveness of your sins, and you're ready to do that. And you're willing to make Him your Lord, where you answer to Him and you yield your will to whatever He says. You can do that this morning. Maybe you've been a stubborn servant who hasn't been working for the Master, but you've made yourself the Master. And you're ready to serve Him rather than yourself. Make that shift today, and we will take care of that. If you're subject to the invitation, we'd ask you to come now as we stand.